Thank you, Dan. Will you join me in thanking Dan? He helps coordinate so much by way of care and choir and so many things in our mix. Thank you, Dan. We appreciate you very, very much. I'm wondering if this happens in your life ever. I'm seriously wondering, has this been the case for you? Has it ever happened to you? You get away to the mountains or the shore or summer camp as a kid or even an extra special business training trip. And while you're away, who you're with, what you do, the change of pace, the mind, soul, body, recharge, all proves so good, so restorative. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, have that experience? Anybody? A bunch of you are looking like it hasn't happened in a long, long time. You need one of those, right? Yeah, I know, we're kind of in that season where it's like, oh, anticipate vacation time to come. But if you think back on it, most of us have had some kind of experience like that. Now, is this true of you? In the midst of that, you think to yourself, in the midst of sensing, I'm getting recharged, I'm getting rejuvenated, this is good, this is so good. In the midst of it, do you think to yourself, okay, I'm going to bottle up this outlook. I will hold this mindset, this perspective, and let it shape me. I'm going to carry this back to work, to family life, to school, to my every endeavor. But then what happens? You come back to reality, right? That Monday, maybe even Tuesday morning after you return from such a rejuvenating time, and things are rolling great, all rolls good, and you're like, yes, this is so good. But then, late in the day, maybe Monday, maybe you make it all the way till Tuesday. Maybe you even make it all the way to mid-morning Wednesday, and then suddenly what? A crisis hits, and stress rolls in, and what? Everything comes undone, all of that new, refreshed, recharged perspective, and you're back to the same old reaction patterns and lousy attitudes, and the people that really should have quit while you were gone didn't quit, they're still there, and all that kind of stuff. I'm convinced in my own life, and for all of us, Easter time, and Jesus' resurrection can end up working the same. Such joy to celebrate each year, right? This season. And you pull up out of Easter weekend saying, truly, I believe it, and I receive it, and I'm so warmed and motivated. I've got it. I can face those challenges, and I can come up against those temptations, and yes, I'm going to live victorious. But within a few days, all manner of Hades breaks loose, and life feels horrific again. And so, what do we often do? We relegate resurrection living. We relegate it to some auxiliary status. We put it in a box. So we start to think of it as optional instead of main thing, priority. We tend to view it as relegated to elective instead of main course, or a specialty item instead of main menu. True on the menu. We lose resurrection celebration. We lose focus on holy devotion and the wonder of our risen Redeemer and that long-range impact of resurrection in our own lives and the ripple effect in others' lives. And so all that we had hoped to hold on to, whoosh. And at best, we end up relegating it over here into a box where we think, okay, I can come over here if I need to pull out an elective or something optional, I can pull it out and try it out again. How do we keep living Jesus' resurrection every day? That's what we're going to work on in the next few minutes together. How do we keep living Jesus' resurrection every day? Now, I'm going to invite you this morning to look on your screen. If you've fired up an app, a Bible app, if you've got one of those, or print copy. So if you don't have your own print copy with you, I invite you to pull one from the seat back in front of you today and join me in Luke 24. Luke 24, 36 to 53 is going to be our anchor passage today. And I'm going to invite you to read along right there today and listen as we read God's word. Right after, the story right here is right after last week's walk and talk on the road to Emmaus. Cleopas and the unnamed mystery friend got back to Jerusalem that night with the others. There they are in this room with the other followers of Jesus. Luke 24, starting with verse 36. Let's read and see what we see right here about everyday resurrection. Starting in verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. Now pause right there for a moment. I said last week that there are a bunch of, yes, fascinating, mysterious things that transpire in this story, and this is one of them. We're not told that he knocked on the door, that he walked through a doorway. It just says he stood among them. So, yes, there's something a bit mysterious. And said to them, "Peace be with you." Oh. It probably, to their ears, sounded like shalom. Something they had heard him say most days across their following of Jesus, very familiar, and yet here it is, peace be with you. Verse 37, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Touch me and see, the ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Verse 40, when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, in other words, it was one of those just, wow, unbelievable. He asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" He gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you." In other words, I had been saying these things to you all the way along. "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Now, this is very similar to what we saw him say to the dynamic duo on the road to Emmaus last week. When he was saying, "Listen, all of the ancient old covenant scriptures, all about me," Jesus said. Big key to understanding all of the scriptures is seeing Jesus right there. "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Verse 45, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now notice, all of that was included. He's saying all of that was included in the ancient holy writ about me, he says. And then verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This after resurrection account supplies us with a set of powerful insights, and we're going to see them in the next few minutes together. Powerful insights on how to sustain everyday resurrection in our lives. How to move everyday resurrection from something we relegate to a bonus box, sort of elective status in our lives, to front and center daily focus where we keep living it with joy and with passion and with peace. A set of powerful insights we see right here in this story, how to sustain everyday resurrection. First one, keep living everyday resurrection in the company of friends. Keep living everyday resurrection in the company of friends. God never intended us to pursue life alone. No one is self-made, solo successful, especially in spiritual development. No way. Notice right here the story's words. They, it's plural, were talking. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, they're a company of friends. Ongoing growth works this way. You gather with a company of friends and you discuss together. You explore with trusted folks. You encounter Christ with others. Did you catch it? Did you catch it? In the midst of this, they're frightened, troubled, and doubting. All of this with Jesus standing right there. It's vital we realize there are no professional Christians. Seriously. No elite status saints. Really. The devil loves to make us think we're less because we struggle. You struggle, I struggle to always believe. We see, even when close up with Christ and his truth. Realize it's in the company of others, regularly connected together, that we grow more, that we encounter Christ more, and gain confidence in resurrection reality. It's a huge part of why, as a church, right now in this season, we're placing that big board out there in the lobby, front and center. And these menus, front and center for you, as opportunities through new groups and classes and seminars to really grow, to be more like Jesus in thought, word, action, daily mission. It's a huge part of why we're placing this front and center in what we're about this year as a church, because we need a company of friends. Who's yours? And when are you together? In very purposeful ways. Mine meets tonight. Our group will be together this evening. I can't wait. We'll gather. We'll have dinner. First hour, we'll break bread together, and we'll gab, and we'll tell stories and all that jazz. And then in the second hour, we dive into God's word, and we talk about it. And then we share life on life. What are the highs? What are the lows? And we pray over those together. And along the way, we're talking about how are we on mission daily and what's going on in our lives. It's a sweet thing. And it's not professional. Not in any way. There's a lot of messy stuff, and there's a lot of hurt stuff, and there's nights that it feels really, really, really good, and there's other nights when we all kind of walk away going, what in the world? That's all part of it. That's life in the company of friends. How about for you? How about for you? Who's yours? It's essential. It is essential if you want to keep living everyday resurrection. Second insight. Here we go. Keep living everyday resurrection via formation by resurrection focus. Formation by resurrection focus. This is where you truly decide in daily mindset, Jesus and his resurrection get to run and form my life. Jesus and his resurrection get to run and form my life. All of us are being formed. You might not think you are. You might not want to admit it, but you are being formed. Too many of us are just mindlessly being formed by the news media we soak up every day. Or what we choose to doom scroll on constantly on our phones or our other devices. Some of us are being formed by patterns of carnal thinking that we're letting form us and shape us, and we keep like repeating those over and over again, and we let that form us. This is where you decide in daily mindset, in real time, constantly, Jesus and his resurrection get to run and form my life. See, this is what sets Christianity apart. Truly. No other world religion or life philosophy is built on a leader who beat out death and promises you and me the same. But resurrection is more, way more than an insurance policy for your eternal destination. Listen to that again. Resurrection is way more than an insurance policy for the afterlife. Truly. Now, everlasting life for the afterlife is true and great, absolutely. But resurrection means you start living truly new, truly alive, awake, here and now. It's what the Apostle Paul is getting after in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Will you read this aloud with me? Let's read it together. God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This is your spiritual position. This is your heavenly home. This is the place you reside in the kingdom of God. Alive. Awake to that new life, resurrected life in Christ Jesus. And Colossians 3, 1 and 2 in the Message version says this. Again, will you read it aloud? Let's read it like we really get it. Let's read it together. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Wow. Powerful challenge. For the disciples gathered here in our gospel story today, the focus issue was feeling troubled, fearful, and doubt-filled versus knowing Christ's confident peace. He came speaking shalom, confident reality to them. And in the midst of that, what was going on? They were freaking out. Anybody else willing to admit you had some moments this week of freaking out less than peaceful? Anybody? Some hands raised. A few of you with just grins on your faces like, yep. Yeah, I did. Hey, some of those moments where what flew my way or what's then stirred inside of me was, I was really grateful in one of those time spots during my week. A friend shared this. This was good soak in. A friend shared this. When I'm worried, it's usually because I'm trying to do everything by myself. When I'm at peace, it's usually because I remember that God is in control. See, it's that peace, it's that reorientation, it's that choice. What will I let run my life? What will I let form me? Is it going to be for you? Is it going to be for me? Formation by resurrection. Where's your focus factor? Your focus factor. You know about this while driving down the road, right? It's why we don't text and drive, right? Yeah, right? Focus. When it comes to spiritual perspective, do you start your day when you wake with real-time focus on Jesus, his life, his presence, his peace, what he wants to do in you and through you, his precious teaching. You start every day saying, I'm gonna soak in something Jesus says here, or a spot in the Word where Jesus is reflected right there, because that's gonna reorient my thinking toward what's true and what's right and what's peaceful and what's holy. What he wants to do in you and through you. His mission for your day. Do you deliberately in the morning and then sprinkled throughout your day, remember the mission? It's to love him and love others and share that amazing good news in word and deed all throughout your day. Do you let that shape you? Do you let that run your life? Because he's alive. Because he's presiding, he's ruling and reigning, because his kingdom matters most, because he's praying for you. By the way, do you know what Jesus is doing right now? And every day, he's seated there. He's seated there at the right hand of the Father, and then he goes boldly into the throne room, to the throne of grace, and prays for you, for me, for us. And in the grand scheme of your destiny, he knows how to do that. And this is mind-boggling when I think about it. He keeps all of that straight and lifts it up and brings it boldly to the throne of grace, praying on your behalf. Do you orient your mind right there to what he's doing as you rise each morning? He's ever present with you by the Holy Spirit. The Father promised and the Father sent. Such heavenly perspective means keeping him at the forefront of your focus. I wonder, do your knees literally hit the floor when you rise each morning? Do you literally like get up? If you're like me, you stumble around a little bit and then you find your way toward the coffee and then you... Lord, thank you. You sustained me through the night. I'm alive and I'm awake today. Forgive everything that needs forgiven. Reorient my thinking. Help me focus on you all day long. Fill me afresh and anew. Guide and guard and lead me forward in your good news today, Jesus, please. Thank you, Lord. Do you orient like that or something similar that represents your own words, anchoring your heart, your mind, your soul in Jesus and in resurrection reality for your day? And then sprinkle that same perspective constantly throughout your day. Here's another insight. Keep living everyday resurrection by daily repenting and following Jesus. Daily repenting and following Jesus. Did you hear it a few moments ago when we read the story? Jesus mentions repentance for the forgiveness of sins preached to all peoples. To repent is to change direction. Literally, to change direction. So when I roll down the road on autopilot, not really thinking too much about where I'm headed. Anybody else roll on autopilot at times? It happens to me. And I head the wrong way on Route 30. Suddenly I realize, dang it, I was supposed to be headed west toward York, and instead I headed east toward Chick-fil-A at Belmont on autopilot. I don't know why that would happen. And I realize this typically just past the Centerville exit. So what do? Well, if I've really got to go west toward York, I get off at Roarstown and I make the crazy turnaround there. What have I done when I do that? Repent. That's repent. You turn around. You go the way you're supposed to go. In everyday life choices, it's the holy no. The holy no. We all need initial repentance. That truly come to Jesus moment, that defining spot where we repent of our sins and we trust him for forgiveness and we say, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. We all need initial repentance and trust Christ for his forgiveness. And we all need daily repentance. Daily repentance, because it's part of growth. Eugene Peterson, in his masterful little book, Living the Resurrection, says this: repent is the no, and follow is the yes of formation by resurrection. The two words have to be worked out in changing and various conditions through the life of the community and in each personal life. We never master either command to the extent that we graduate and go on to higher things. They are basic and remain basic. Are you repenting and deciding to follow Jesus daily? Peterson further explains. Here's some bonus from Peterson. He says, following Jesus is the yes that comes after the no. We have renounced self-initiative for Jesus' obedience. We have renounced clamoring assertions and replaced them with quiet listening. We have renounced so we can watch Jesus work. We listen to Jesus speak. We accompany Jesus. Note that. We accompany Jesus into new relationships, odd places, odd people. We pray our prayers in Jesus' name, keeping company with Jesus, observing what he does, and listening to what he says. The following gets inside us, becomes internalized, gets into our muscles and nerves. If you've coached kids in any sport, you know it's called muscle memory. You do it enough times, you know it. If you teach music, Jim, you know about this with drums, right? It's called muscle memory. When you watch him go crazy in this cage back here, you know why he can do that? Animal. Why? Because muscle memory. It's that good, right? And it comes after hours and hours. And it's the same with following Jesus. But it's empowered through Jesus praying for you and the Holy Spirit working in you. And you say no, and you say yes. And you say no, and you say yes. Yes, yes. I will follow, I will listen. I'm gonna live it out, this resurrection. Here's another insight. Keep living everyday resurrection by integrating Christ in all your ordinaries. Integrating Christ in all your ordinaries. Notice in today's story, as his followers wrestle with their fears, doubts, and wondering, Jesus met them in the ordinary. We read it earlier. What did he do? He shows them his body, including his scars, his hands and his feet. There's emphasis that he shows this to them. Scars are very ordinary. We've all got scars. It's not as prominent now. I'm trying to see if I can feel it. Yeah, with aging skin, I don't feel it as much anymore. But I had, for years and years, an X above my eye. Right here, by this eyebrow. As a four-year-old, I fell down a flight of steps, like took a big tumble, caught the edge of my eyebrow on the steel post. If you're feeling a little squeamish, hold on for a minute, okay? Caught it on the steel post. Landed at the doctor's for stitches. That's the next thing I remember. And this was the olden days, by the way. Today, they would have taken me in. I would sit there, and the doctor today would get out the magic glue and put a Band-Aid over and say, good kid, you're out of here, kind of thing. But back then, the doctor looked at it and said, ooh, that's bad. And he got out the big needle and the thread. And in front of my eyes, sterilize the needle. I mean, all that weird stuff, you know, like old horse doctor style stuff. And then stitched it up and left this X. And all the way up into college years, landing on college campus and meeting people for the first time. And then for years after that, I still was prominent there. And I was embarrassed about it. This was a very common thing, right? Scars, but it was this X right there. And so I decided it was worthy of a story. I know that shocks you, right? So I told people that I had been captured by pirates, taken to sea. They had me out there for a few days, but couldn't put up with me, so they decided to bring me back down the river behind our house, drop me off, but before they did, they would leave their mark. Arrg. It was a great story. Scars are very ordinary. And then did you catch it? Do you have anything here to eat? You talk about ordinary. Do you have anything here to eat? Jesus eats fish in front of them. Some of us lose focus on the glorious resurrection because we fail to let Jesus meet us in the ordinary. Here's when it makes all the difference. When we let him meet us. In heart, word, attitudes, and actions. You invite him and bring him into the ordinary stuff. Your meals and your job decisions and conversations with your kids and grandkids. You don't relegate it to this little spiritual box over here. Maybe I'll go back and select from it. No, you weave it into all your ordinaries. Your illnesses. Your heartaches, and your joys and your triumphs. Next insight. Keep living everyday resurrection with daily time in God's word, witness, and worship. Did you catch it in the story? Word, witness, and worship. Word, witness, and worship. Now, we delve into these some last week. Dive in God's word. Through the fine-tuned lens of Christ himself. We hear Jesus say it again right here with this group. All the prophets in the Psalms were speaking of him. His fulfillment as the promised Savior, the risen Redeemer. But don't miss it. Notice also the mission. The mission was foretold. Wow. Good news proclaimed to all nations, to all peoples. How? Verse 48. You are my witnesses of these things. You are my witnesses of these things, Jesus says. That includes you and me. We keep living resurrection as we purposefully proclaim the good news in both word and deed with coworkers and family, neighbors, ball team friends, and global connections God brings our way. We just did our Blessed series. We had this big focus for those 5 weeks on beginning with Bible and prayer, and learning to listen, really listen to others. And eating together, very intentionally, purposefully, eating meals with others in ways that are good and meaningful and caring. And then serving, really serving outward toward others. And then this story of the good news, Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, his life, his love, ongoing for us. And we learned to story that. We learn to scoop up those events from Jesus' life and point others to how they intersect with our lives. We story like that. We bless. And it's there in that intentional blessing that we're growing as people who look more and more and more like Jesus. Because he constantly did all five of those. Constantly. We aim to bless. Here's the final one. Keep living everyday resurrection, flowing from your new identity. Keep living everyday resurrection, flowing from your new identity. Now, what's this all about? Well, who are you really? Who are you really? You may not realize that, but you're constantly asking it. Most of us are constantly in some kind of an identity crisis. Where do I fit in this family? Where do I fit in this workplace? Who do they see me as? Where am I? Too many of us, we're building our identity off of goofy social media stuff, or we're trying to build our identity off of what somebody in a classroom is telling us that we ought to be, or family that are trying to bark at us who we ought to be. Who are you really? Following this scene in Luke in Jesus' ascension, the Spirit is given. Jesus spoke of it right here. What the Father has promised, he'll send. The Spirit is given in a fresh new wind and fire. Acts opening chapters capture it. So many people believe and are baptized in baptism. Baptism becomes this very beautiful, tangible, physical expression, identifying Jesus' disciples fully with the resurrection family, the family of God. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 6:4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And notice this is happening in baptism. Colossians 2, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God. Note that, your faith in the working of God, not faith in how good your works might seem. Not by the treadmill kind of religion, not trying to work, and trusting that. No, your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. All sorts, listen, friends, listen close. All sorts of worldly labels, vices, and louder voices vie for your sense of identity. And so you end up asking, who am I? And where and to whom do I belong? Baptism in the water and the Spirit soaks you in your primary identity. You are a child of God. You are forgiven, dead to sin and self, alive, awake to live this new life in Christ. The old life, sin and self, all buried under the water. Now you're a new person, raised to new life with Christ. So live like it. Let's live like it. Have you been baptized? I mean, like literally the water thing. Have you been baptized? Marking your true identity as belonging in the new community, the kingdom of God, the family of God. So you're going to hear a bunch more about this in coming weeks, but coming up, we'll have a very special summer kickoff on June 4th. 10 a.m., one service. We're gonna pack it all in that morning, and we're going to hear stories from people of their new life in Christ, and we're going to see baptisms, and then we're going to have a big party afterward with all kinds of fun and joy and celebration. But at the center of all of this, see these little squiggles right here? Alexa worked her magic on. That's water. It's baptism. If you want to know more for yourself, or want to help a friend or family member get baptized, you are allowed right now or post-service to give a little holy elbow. Hey, baptism. Give us a shout. We'd love to help you get ready. Back in today's story scene, when Jesus ascends back to the Father, notice the overflow for these followers. Real joy as they remain centered in him. Look at these final words in our story today as we finish today. Look at the ascension of Jesus. It says when he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Can you just put yourself right there for a moment? Jesus blessing you. Sense it right now. Dare to feel it right now. Dare to believe it right now. Hear him blessing you. It says he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And notice what transpired. Start of our story today. What was going on? They were freaking out. And now what? Joy. All that worship. They stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Let's stand together. Gabby and the team are coming back for a final song. And as they come, let's go ahead and stand. As they come, I'm going to invite you to watch this and consider how you and I are really changed and what our work ought to really be. Watch this.